This is Matt Wells at UN News. When it comes to tackling migration, climate change or seemingly intractable conflicts, the doctrine of collective responsibility embodied by the UN is the only way forward, according to Deputy Secretary General Amina Mohammed. She spoke to Conor Lennon in the UN's VIP social media studio, where dozens of world leaders have been taking part in Facebook Live interviews during High Level Week, who asked her what should be done to strengthen multilateralism.
I think first understanding what it's all about and what it means, and it is about doing things together, international cooperation, globalization here, maybe it could be more just, but to get behind that word multilateralism and break it down, because it is under siege. We are thinking that we can go alone or perhaps go with just one partner. But the challenges that we have today really go beyond just any one response. It needs a collective response because there's a lot of collective responsibility in much of what's going on, whether it's migration, climate change, conflict. These all need a global response. And this is really what we stand for. We address the realities of today, and then we discuss them and we negotiate them, but all in a bid to try to close the gap of the aspirations we have. And they're laid out in pretty solid frameworks that address some of these, you know, really tough times that we've got ahead now. So I think we need more reflection, we need to have more conversation, we need to make the space for those dialogues, make the space for a conversation that is free of a particular mindset, but thinks about our humanity.
But amongst those leaders who might be more resistant to that idea, how are you managing to get that across?
Well, I think on Peace Day, the Secretary General put it very well when he says, we keep on trying and we don't give up. It's really important that we are known here, our commodity is hope. That's what we must sell to the world. And we don't give up because, you know, it's just what is happening outside these walls, outside the New York bubble, demands that of us. That's why we're here. That's why we're set up in 1945, was to ensure there was peace and prosperity. It was inclusive. So every now and again, like in every family, there are those who have different opinions, and you have to respect them. But you have to bring them to the table. Don't keep them out of the tent. It's really important to make sure that we continue to have that conversation. We continue to deal with people's issues, as sometimes difficult as we might seem to think they are. Today, it's 70 years of the Human Rights Declaration. You know, I'm not sure that if we put that out today, we'd get the same number of signatures that could carry that forward. And I think that that's what we have to really remember, that we need to reinforce that daily in our work, daily in the aspirations that we have.
Well, let's turn now to the 2030 agenda. Talking about these big issues,
yes.
These are enshrined within the 17 Sustainable Development Goals. Not long to go till 2030, really, if we were to hit those targets. What kind of progress is being made and where can we do better?
Well, first, it was an amazing and historic achievement to get the 17 goals. It's not just increasing them from 8 and the Millennium Development Goals to the 17. It's the fact that it was a universal agenda, a process that everyone was brought in, and this was acknowledging that partnerships for this were critical. And a lot of what will happen will be at the country level. How well have we done? Well, over the last 4 years, or coming into the fourth year, Member States have reported on what they're doing, and it's really enthusiastic, and I think that we are incredibly impressed by the way in which business has come in, governments have paid attention, and so people understand that is a framework that is about their development, and it's a whole of development approach, and they are tackling it. Is it happening fast enough? Are we making the goals? No, we're not. We're not there yet. We're on sort of the journey and the very beginning of it. And I would say it's a transition. We're transitioning from a siloed approach to development to one that is integrated and is much more difficult to comprehend and complex, because today the contexts are so different. It's not just a question of countries that are developing and addressing the multidimensional aspects of poverty. It is about climate change, it is about migration, it is about new types of conflict, not the old that we recognize, but terrorism that knows no face, but yet tragedy day after day after day. So context is different, populations are so much more mobile, technology is around for good and for not so good. So I would say it's a good start.
Now, the time we have left, I know you're short of time, I did want to talk about a meeting that happened just a couple of hours ago about Youth 2030. Very important to make sure that young people understand the relevance of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
You must have met some of the youth envoys, the other young people who are here today. Do you find that the UN's getting the message across about why it's still relevant?
I think we are getting the message across, and we've got an amazing youth envoy. Jathma goes there doing what the SG asked her to do, be disruptive. She's bringing in new energy, she's bringing in new ideas, and she's doing it at scale. This initiative that she was able to launch with the SG on the youth strategy goes a long way to mainstreaming what youth need to do in every aspect of the challenges that we have, but also in enhancing the opportunities. So I think youth are definitely on the agenda. Again, the same question is, how far have we gone? We've just begun that journey. I'm very optimistic. I think that with the reforms, we are going to see much more of what we do to garner these assets at the country level in new partnerships and make it work.
And finally, I think we just have time for one more. Gender parity. Now, this is something that is a huge question in every workforce around the world, and of course at the United Nations. We've launched programs to improve gender parity. Is the UN getting there?
Absolutely, we're getting it. I mean, the leadership is important, and the Secretary General has shown how he's done that in his office, and he's begun to do that in the Secretariat. I think as a system, over 40 agencies in the field with peace and security, this is more difficult. And it's more difficult for good reason, which is why we have a roadmap and why we keep track of that month on month. And we have a whole Under-Secretary General who pays so much attention to this to make sure that we're not falling off track. I think, again, we have done a lot to put the processes and the policies in place, and it started to be implemented. To think that at this level we have gender parity in our senior management, and that we have it at the field in the way in which we coordinate the work of the United Nations. In every one of our countries there's a resident coordinator, and now we have gender parity with that. But it's got to be systemic. We've got to change the power relations so that we can address in a meaningful and sustainable way the issues that affect both men and women.